So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
If you missed it earlier, we announced that Mike Farron will be joining us this season on our College World Series preliminary game radio broadcast here on 1620 The Zone.
Wow.
Along with yours truly, Gary Sharp, Connor Happer, Nick Handley.
Wow, wow, wow.
Some producer named Grimm.
Man, I'll say this. When I'm driving home.
Oh, yeah, when you guys are driving home waiting for that call from Liv because you're accepting their blood money.
Never. I wouldn't do that. I cannot wait to listen to you guys while I drive home. And then I'll get home and I won't listen, but man, the drive home is going to be great. Unless I have a podcast to listen to. And then, just kidding. I support you on the way home. I'll listen the first weekend. I'm doing doubleheader shows most of the time. I'll actually come by the booth and say hello. I'll listen in the media area. You're just
coming up for the free food and
yes. Here's a little behind the scenes peek for some of the listeners out there who are like, oh man, what's it like in the press box? Are all the writers paying attention to every pitch? No, I watched one writer book a vacation during a baseball game for like an hour. He was looking at what flights to do. I'm like, there's a game.
That's
and
amazing.
You're writing supposedly about this game.
Well, then he was booking.
And then he was nice, Nick. Nice. Yeah. I just read a bunch of long-form articles during the game. Maybe I'll bring a book up to the booth.
Why don't you just bring a podcast?
I could. I mean, yeah, bring my headphones.
Shane yesterday into the Equitable Bank inbox was triggered. So Josh just brought up another innocuous story about how Mike Riley has poor clock management skills in the USFL. And we made fun of him, and then Shane got triggered and
he called you the biggest Mike Riley homer of all time or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he said that you doubted Scott Frost from the beginning, something along those lines.
Anyway,
yeah,
he did write back though. He said, sorry for being over the top, and I get it, but when talking about rule and question is, can he get a winning season?
Which is a question that we have asked, right, for year one.
We ask it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Almost every
And time. We'll ask it several more times between now and then.
Yeah.
Look at every head coach in Nebraska history and look at their record in first season and look at their tenure. Believe it or not, first year is telling how the tenure is going to go. So I don't buy in the it's going to be bad this year, but it'll be better next year.
I mean, to be fair to Shane, Bob Devaney, 9 wins year one, a preview of what was to come. Tom Osborne, I guess the same thing. Frank Solich won 9. Now, some would say that was a preview of what was to come. Others would say not really because he tailed off at the end. Bo Pelini, 9 wins right away. Literally, what he did almost his entire time. Mike Riley went 6-7. They did not go 500, but they did win a bowl game.
And then they were better the next year.
They're better the next year, and then they fired him after year 3. Mm-hmm. And then Scott Frost went 4-8. And then, I mean, you got to help me out before that, before Bob.
Well, listen, I am the first person who likes to look at historical trends. I know Stu Mongey and the Stu Mongey Sports Bureau, friend of the program. Remember, he did all that work on, and this was first 4 years. Remember, first 4 years and how rare it was for a coach to have 4 straight losing seasons and pull the nose up at the Power 5 level in year 5 and beyond. And as it turned out, Frost couldn't do it either. But that was after 4 years. Okay. So I get, historical trends, but
this seems a little too short-sighted.
Well, it is. Because
it's a different era, first of all. I would start with it's a different era. You can be so-so in year one at a school and then have success because it happens at a lot of other schools.
And I know it's college, pro, whatever. Who are the two most successful head coaches in Dallas Cowboys history?
Jimmy Johnson and Tom Landry.
And do you know what their records were their first couple of years?
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
1-15 for old Jimmy J.
Yeah, I don't know what Tom's was.
Landry was pretty close to
Smile,
the same.
Smile, Tom.
And yeah, they were an expansion franchise in 1960, but it took until about, what, 4 years in for Landry's team to start winning. And I know, different era, different time, blah, blah, blah.
0-11-1.
Ugh. But you gotta be careful. And this is what I guard against. Nebraska has been caught in this trap too many times where they judge the book by its cover. I'm just looking to see how this team looks this year. I don't care what the record is this year. Hey, if they exceed my expectations and win 7 or 8 games, will I be impressed? Of course I will. But I'm not going to expect it. I'm not expecting a bowl game this year. I think you do need to allow a little room for growth. I want to see what this is going to look like. Matt Rhule himself. Horrible year ones at Baylor and Temple.
Baylor and Temple, yeah.
I keep wanting to say Tulane for some reason. Baylor and Temple. Pulled the nose up right away. Now listen, that may not be a telltale sign of things to come. But to put so much on the first year, given all the changes that are happening, and there's going to be mistakes made. There are going to be mistakes made. And this is a tough conference just to walk in and start winning games right away. Haven't the last 11, 12 years taught us anything? This is not an easy conference to win in.
You know, there's a part of me, and I think that I haven't verbalized this on the air, but I know I've been thinking about it a lot over the prior few months with Matt Rhule coming on board. Yeah. And I think it crystallized yesterday with this email, because the email started seemingly with like a Frost defender coming out of the woodwork, which is always like a surprise. And I'm going to be
that
serious.
Those people still exist.
That they still exist. And it's like, wow, there is someone still upset about Scott Frost and saying anything positive about Mike Riley and maybe something negative about Scott Frost. And what I am concerned about, going off of what you just said about a year one, is that at any chance to make Matt Rhule look bad, that part of the fan base is going to show its face.
Yeah.
Let's say if they go 5-7 or if they lose the first game. I just, look, man, it has not been super toxic lately around here.
No.
Which has been, a huge difference compared to the last few off seasons.
Refreshing.
But it has been. But there is a part of me that does think that all of that is just waiting to be unearthed if they have a slow start. If they lose to Minnesota, if they don't look good versus Colorado, whether they win or lose. I mean, if they lose, I think it's going to be a panic. But I really think that that's out there, and that at any chance, I think that Frost faction of the fan base that has been pretty quiet, because again, like, what could you say? I think they're going to return. And I'm and this email kind of crystallized that again for me of like, man, I think that those types of fans still exist, and it's not going to be great.
I mean, you gotta allow at least some room for growth. I get it. There have been examples of coaches who walked in and had great success or showed signs of success from year one. Bob, I still say to this day, Bob Stoops screwed up a lot of the narrative.
He changed college football. Johnny won a natty in year two.
For a generation.
He changed everything because no one had done it. He won in year two, and then Jim Tressel won in year two. And after that, it was like, you got to win in year two.
Yeah.
You know? And Larry Coker didn't count.
That's not realistic.
No.
That's not realistic. You can't expect everyone to do just that.
Yeah, think about that. So starting in 2002, so he won in year two. Well, actually, go back to 01. Larry Coker was in year one. He won. 2000 and what, 6, a few years later, Urban Meyer, he wins a national title in year two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh, wow. Pete Carroll, I think he won a title in year like 3 or 4. It was like, oh, see, this is what you do. You win titles, you know, early and often. And, I mean, sure enough, that has kind of become the marker of a successful football coach after that, before a coach like a Saban started owning the sport for a decade and a half.
Here is Jeff on the 42 Degrees, the Source Zone Hotline. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, guys. Well, just look where the odds makers have it, right? 6.5 wins, that's probably right where I think it would be, right? They may win 6, they may win 7. But look at last year's. Last year's, they came in at 7.5, meaning they were supposed to win 8 games last year. Trust me, I jumped all over that, and I got a new patio set.
Heck yeah!
I knew they weren't going to get gas. So 6.5, yeah, you're right. Might make a bowl game, might not, but that's right where that number should be. So,
thank you, Jeff.
You know, and maybe to the emailer Shane's point, you know, that's what he's looking at 6. He didn't specify in the email, but maybe he's thinking. I think what he's avoiding is like if Nebraska went 3-9 or 4-8.
Yeah.
I'm not going to allow myself to be so superficial when it comes to record. I want to see how this is going to look. Because remember, you've got a lot of guys on this coaching staff who have never coached at this level before. If you don't think there's going to be growing pains, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I mean, look, they have not made a bowl game since 2016. I know we just did this with Jack yesterday where we ran through the schedule. It's like, man, if you take care of the games you should win, all you got to do is win 2 others. And like, yeah, on paper, it sounds awesome and easy. But
we've
nothing
been saying
has been
it for years.
Dude, I still think even after all of the failures of the last 6 seasons, that people do literally forget that this is like the worst Power 5 program in college football right now. They're the only one in that time frame to not make a bowl game. The only one. Like, I think that they will. I think that they can. But it also, just don't ignore that it's going to be difficult. Even if the schedule on paper seems easy.
Here's the rundown, okay? Nebraska, 12-point favorites over Northwestern, lost.
12? Good Lord.
23-point favorites over Georgia Southern, lost.
Wow. Then after that, I think they're dogs in basically every game, right? That they lost.
I'm going back, you know, through history.
Oh, yeah. If you go to the prior
Purdue, 7.5-point favorites, lost.
Which year was this?
2021. Some people may have guaranteed a win in that
Some
game.
People did guarantee a win. And then others had to pick up the pieces on Big Red overreaction.
Let's see.
By the way, Shane has followed up and says, success with me is 6 or 7 wins. And he adds, I was anti-Frost and Riley. At least you got that going.
That's fine. Just looking back at, I mean, there's been history. I mean, they were 10.5-point favorites against Northern Illinois, lost.
Oh, Mike Riley's last year.
Yeah. I mean, there's been history.
Yeah, they're going to be huge
Nebraska.
Favorites against Northern Illinois. They're going to be huge favorites against La Tech. They're going to be favorites against Colorado on the road. And they could very well lose any of those 3 games.
And so I say, yeah, if they take care of business, the problem is they've not taken care of business.
Yeah, it was so,
and maybe they will this year. Yeah. We'll see.
Maybe this is the year we're smart and we don't have any game in the will or even should win category, and they're all in the might, won't, or whatever. Like, we're going to have to put them in those categories. There's no reason they should win games because they don't.
Now, sure, if this team went 0-12, I would be very concerned. Or 1-11.
That'd be bad. I would agree. That would be bad.
But I'm not going to shut my mind off from the fact that, yeah, this could be a struggle this year, and that doesn't necessarily have to mean that the whole thing is going to not work. The difference between, and I know people don't like hearing this, but the difference between Bob Stoops, Oklahoma, Jim Tressel, Ohio State, Urban Meyer, Florida, great recruiting backgrounds. Great recruiting territories.
Well, great rosters that were left behind.
Nebraska has always had to work harder to achieve more. Always.
Well, that's not even the point. The point is that those guys were left incredible rosters. And unless this staff is about to unearth a bunch of dudes that we don't realize they have, which would be incredible because that means that they're developing the hell out of them.
Right.
We're not going to be having those types of conversations.
But it's harder to win here. It is. It just is. I don't care what the history says. It has always been harder to work here. It's one of the reasons why I'm hopeful for Matt Rhule, because it seems like he's a guy that gets it.
Edward says,
Buff has the work ethic to get it.
Buffs are quietly building a winning roster, says Edward. I would say there is nothing quiet about what they're doing right now.
Tiny baby roster.
Yeah, and they're definitely not building a winning roster. That roster's going to lose.
You mean they do anything quiet?
Yeah,
with
quietly,
Coach Prime?
Quietly.
Anything with Coach Prime?
Edward,
quiet?
You wrong, bro.
All right, coming up next, it is time for some content.
What do we got in content today?
Well, coming up today in content, we didn't get a chance to talk about this with Mike Farron. Oakland A's stadium update.
Ooh, yeah, this is interesting.
Also, it could be the ultimate collision of pop culture. Something I read today. Ultimate collision of pop culture.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure if I would be in favor of.
Okay.
That and more as unsportsmanlike conduct continues after this on 1620 The Zone.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.